This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, March 7th, Paul Perillo. Another Patriots.com Roster Report Podcast. And we are one day away from the strangely named legal tampering period, and 4 days away from Tuesday's afternoon, 3 p.m. start to NFL free agency. And things are already heating up a little in this, what do they call it for football? Do they have a name for it? Hot stove? It's not really hot stove. It's like early spring, off-season, roster building.
They've sort of built to where Fred always wanted it to be.
Yes.
Fred was always jealous of the baseball hot stove season.
We got it.
You got it.
We got it.
There's a lot of news now year-round, 12 months a year. For
news,
the
rumors, baseless innuendo.
Innuendo.
Everything. And this week, a big talk in New England and elsewhere has been the Darrell Revis potential trade to Denver or New England.
Irrational objections,
pure idiocy.
For your personal
proving yet again that Mike Florio can throw something against the wall and get clicks and talk. Okay, Jason Lockenfora can throw something against the wall and get clicks or talk out of it. And we spent time this week. Boston Sports Radio Station spent time this week. Ben Volen, who's been dubbed Numb Nuts by Mike Felger, spent time this week writing about how the Patriots could acquire the $16 million annual contract that currently exists for Darrell Revis. We will not spend any more time talking about on this Roster Report podcast because we like to look at things that actually could happen and affect the Patriots roster. And
Fred,
I do not
and I
buy
beat
it.
Andy down yesterday.
No, that's the type of idiocy people go to PFW in Progress for. Go to PFW in Progress, the Thursday edition. Plenty of Revis talk. Great fight late. But here we're going to talk about actual roster changing. And some of that began this morning where young Brandon Spikes, last seen on injured reserve, last seen no longer tweeting, which is really unfortunate because I like to try to psychoanalyze his tweets, made an appearance on NFL Network's NFL AM this morning, and one of his quotes was, quote, both sides could benefit from a fresh start in terms of the Patriots and himself. I think we have all assumed since even last offseason when he proved himself a nonconformist and was the lone player not taking part in offseason workouts and all of that, that he was probably going to leave after this season, you know, whether or not Hell on Earth, which he's been located in via his Twitter account for years now, referenced Foxborough and whether he was just counting down the days to get out of here or not, I have no idea. But I think we all assumed he's long gone and hard to find in terms of the Patriots' free agents. I would never say never, he said of a return to New England. You know, everybody says you never want to burn a bridge. But I just feel like both sides could benefit from a fresh start. That being said, in free agency, I just feel like I'm out here. I'm available. I'm 100%. Any team that is willing to take a chance on me, they're going to get a playmaker, a guy that's very aggressive on the field, looking to be a difference maker. I agree with that 100%. He's very aggressive on the field. He's looking to be a difference maker. And in the run game, at times, I think he can be a difference maker. But in the modern NFL, Paul, what value does Brandon Spikes bring to the next team?
I think a little, but not a whole lot. I don't think the Patriots would, you know, obviously with the emergence of Hightower late and Jamie Collins, I don't think the Patriots would be interested in bringing him back. I think that was sort of a, at times, I don't want to say contentious, but, you know, a word maybe short of that, adversarial, a little bit, relationship between the coaching staff and Spikes. But I do think he can help. I think he could help a team. I think he helped the Patriots at times over the last couple of years, especially.
Certainly.
He played all 16 games last year. That was a knock on him that he couldn't stay completely healthy. I don't know how much the knee problem was responsible for him landing on IR in the postseason as much as it was those reports that we saw around here about him being late or missing meetings during the bye week before the playoffs. But to answer your specific question, I think he does have some value to a team. But in this day and age, like you said, Andy, run stuffing inside linebackers, to me, they're sort of a dime a dozen. I think there are guys out there that can do it. And I don't think the running game is a huge part of most teams' offense anymore. I think there are certainly some teams that still run the ball, like San Francisco and Seattle, two of your favorite teams because of the way they play defense and run the ball, Andy. But I don't think there are a lot of good teams that do that. And I think that certainly Spikes leaving is not a huge deal for me, and I'm not surprised by his comments today.
You mentioned he went on IR. I mentioned that there's been times, various times over his career, where we wondered if he fit in. Was he a nonconformist? You know, he had the suspension.
Well, he called himself a nonconformist
right.
at one point.
He missed time. He had, you know, various issues off the field, questions about when he was hurt, how he was hurt, what he was doing in his private life, tweeting, questionable tweets. There were just a ton of different little brush fires that popped up throughout his 4 years here. And he said this morning, quote, "I think, you know, overall, you know, if I could do some things differently, I would. But it is what it is in the past, and I think it's just time to move on." So even he admits, you know, there were probably some questionable decisions. And just finally on the Spikes, because you brought up the run stuffer, he did want to make it clear in terms of his skill set. "I feel like I'm a three-down player. I know a lot of people, Paul Perillo, know me as a run stopper, but I've got great coverage skills." Proceed, Paul
Perillo.
Okay,
you know what I feel about that. How do you feel about it?
He does not have great coverage skills. Okay, so he does not have average coverage skills. He's a below-average pass defender. He is at his best when he is basically going, you know, 45-degree angle either side, straight ahead,
forward,
and blowing people up.
Yeah.
And sometimes just blowing people up for the sake of blowing them up, not even trying to make a play.
I will say this about him. He had great size for that spot. You know, dropping into coverage, he was he got in the way, and that allowed him to make some plays, because he did have some interceptions.
Well, he is a long, tall middle linebacker.
He's a big inside linebacker.
I mean, so there's a wingspan aspect to that.
Yeah, I think exactly as you said, though, Andy, when you asked him to go a little bit side to side or trail running backs and zones and shallow crosses, he couldn't do it as well as you saw, even in a limited role, Jamie Collins do it last year in the playoffs.
Who adds more athleticism to a long, tall frame. And I just think he's right. It's time to move on. I know a lot of people have speculated maybe he could land in Buffalo, where Pepper Johnson is now an assistant coach. I believe they're going to play the 3-4 with Schwartzy, and you know, that he could fit
in
with
a guy
system.
Like Kiko Alonso,
sure,
who is the athletic type that Jamie Collins is. That might be a good mix.
So he's going to move on. Where, we don't know. I'd be stunned if he were back with the New England Patriots for next season. I think both sides have moved on. Other places where we look at what's going on in free agency, Paul Perillo, we are about to post a make your case for Darrell Revis talk. So again, we will skip over that. But I'm about to post a blog entry. I have dubbed Jared Allen as the guy that I think, outside of their own free agents, that I would like to most see them go after. I think he's an aging but not aged defensive end, still productive, who I think could bring something both on the field and in terms of his whole work ethic, attitude. You know, I think he's got a little quirkiness, craziness to him. I think there's a nice package that could be brought in, and he may even fill a void of a guy like Spikes, who had some of that, you know, who was feisty,
edge.
You're not sure what exactly he brings, but I think he brings it. Jared Allen's a guy I'd like to see them in, and I think you agree.
I absolutely do agree, and you know,
so you
it's
read
funny,
from the heart.
When we talked about it upstairs, it was we thought that, and then, you know, it got posted on the site as Andy's thoughts.
Not
and I asked him to include me, and he said, "But it's from the heart," was the quote. So, yeah, we actually do agree on it. I think when you're talking about strict free agents, now there's guys that may be available. DeMarcus Ware might be available. I would probably take a shot there if the medical checked out. Julius Peppers even. Some of the guys that are rumored to be available that haven't been yet. But Jared Allen is a free agent. Well, at least he will be on March 11th. So I think Andy and I agree. A veteran pass rusher that I think you have a reasonable expectation of him making a difference immediately. And he's coming off a good season. Justin Tuck would be another one. I think they need that type. They swung and missed last year with John Abraham. They need to get back in the batter's box this year, and they need to take their hacks again.
As we look elsewhere and sort of do our little free agent preview here and wonder who they might start tampering with come tomorrow and then actually consider signing come Tuesday, safety position. I know there's big names. There's Bird, who by some published reports is looking for $9 million a year. So as the manager in Major League said, well, cross him off the list then.
Yeah, I saw somewhere that he wants to stay in Buffalo, too, I read on the Twitter
this
morning.
Yeah, it ain't happening. He's moving on from Buffalo, and he's not getting $9 million a year here. So
no.
Thanks for playing, Jairus. T.J. Ward, obviously, the sort of down the Pollard road.
Would you give him $9 million?
No, I wouldn't give any of them $9 million.
No, I don't give safeties $9 million.
Nope. And the guy I have sort of looked at as a mid-tier guy that probably is going to be overpaid. I don't think he's great, but I do think he's physical, is Dante Whitner. Mm-hmm. As a guy that, depending on how the market shakes itself out, would be a guy that I would go with a shorter, you know, if 3 years, $15 million, if I could get something in that range, maybe, where I'm sort of using up some of the Steve Gregory three and change money and then giving him a little bit more. I think he's a better fit for the strong safety position. Obviously, we know he's changing his name to Hittner. He wants to hit people. And
drop that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He dropped the Hittner. He's going to stay Whitner?
Yeah, he's going to stay Whitner.
Good call by him. But he's a guy that I think might be intriguing.
I would absolutely take a shot there. And I don't even know if it would cost as much as your proposal either. He's kind of long in the tooth now.
Yes.
He's getting up there. So I'm not sure he would get that much. But
and
to be honest,
wasn't all that highly thought of leaving Buffalo.
No.
He benefited from the system he was in. You know, the little Nick Saban surrounded by a lot of talent.
I certainly didn't remember him in Buffalo as this really big physical presence. Did you? I mean,
no.
He was a safety that was a very high pick, and that's probably why he wasn't as highly thought of, because he wasn't like Eric Berry.
Well,
Eric Berry, when he first got to Kansas City, completely made a difference.
If you remember, he was also the makeup pick. They wanted, I believe it was Huff. And the old coot said, well, we need a safety, and they just
took him. This guy's available too. I like Dante Whitner. I think a lot of Patriots fans have talked a lot about Bernard Pollard. I think Bernard Pollard is a poor man's Whitner. I think Whitner is a much better player than Pollard.
And Pollard re-signed with the Titans.
Yeah, he's not available anymore anyway. But I would take a shot at Whitner, because I think he more closely resembles the element that they lack. I think if you brought in Bird, I'm all for bringing in good players, and I think he's a good player. And I would love to say, well, now I have two good safeties that have some range with McCourty and Bird, or even T.J. Ward. I think T.J. Ward's a little bit more physical.
Yep.
But he's a younger guy. He's in the prime of his career. He's going to cost you some money. I would take a shot at a veteran like Whitner. It sounds to me like the kind of move the Patriots have made. And the question would be, what does he have left?
Right.
You know, they've sort of, you know, bought low on some veterans that are nearing the end and maybe, you know, looking to make one last run, although he could probably re-sign in San Francisco for that and have the same opportunity to
Correct.
Make that one last run. Interesting guy.
Okay, we've touched on pass rusher, we've touched on safety, two of the biggest needs. Where else do you think they might target as free agency opens? Because our source within the organization, Fred Kirsch, believes them to be
Splash.
Aggressive and they could act quickly. We look at other places would be interior defensive line. A guy like Red Bryant
you gotta
is
get
already
someone,
out there.
You got to get someone who can catch the ball, though, don't you?
Whether
it be a tight end or a receiver of some sort. I think, and it doesn't have to be, you know, everybody talks, well, Jimmy Graham's available, even though he really isn't. It's not going to be that kind of a dynamic. You know, the highest guy on the list is probably not where you're going. But a guy like Scott Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you've John Carlson, we talked a little bit about PFW in progress. There's a number of intriguing tight ends to me that have caught Brandon Pettigrew, that have caught passes in this league on a consistent basis that you might be able to get as that number two guy behind Gronk.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that obviously the Patriots are focusing on some of their own free agents that they may be looking to retain. Adam Schefter had a report that they have had contact at the very least with Julian Edelman's representatives to talk about retaining him. He is obviously their best pass catcher from last year, his first 100-yard season. His first season was 16 games under his belt, staying healthy. And the big name, assuming we don't trade for Darrelle Revis, which I'm assuming, would be Aqib Talib, who is one of, if depending on who you ask, maybe one of the top 3, 4, 5 free agents at any position.
I've seen a lot of lists with him in the top 5 of the free agents available, period.
So I have said all along, I still think there is a good chance that Talib comes back. I wasn't swayed by the Brent Grimes deal because I think that's Talib's ballpark. I think it's going to be somewhere in the range of that, in the $30 million range, half of it guaranteed, you know, $36 million, 18 guaranteed. I don't know exactly what it'll shake down as. I still think there's a chance he's back. Paul, I know you don't think there's a chance he's back.
I do think there's a chance he's back. I don't think he's going to be back.
Oh,
that's not
okay.
The same thing.
Okay, so Paul says there's no chance he'll be back.
Unbelievable.
And Julian Edelman, I think we both...
This is why we end up getting in shouting matches at the end of podcasts.
Aren't real sure, because I think we believe that if Amendola stays, that's a lot to invest in one position where you're looking to re-sign Edelman.
Yeah.
And there's a chance. I just brought him up. I think Detroit, Cincinnati, some of these offenses,
Houston.
Places where they could use a nice slot possession receiver like a Julian Edelman, and we've talked about this is his chance. He needs to cash in. Can't be a lot of hometown discounts if he's looking to maximize his overall career finances and set himself up.
Yeah, I think if something happens to Amendola, and you wrote a an opinion piece on Amendola's situation yesterday, you might want to check that one out on Patriots.com.
It's good.
Andy talked about it. It was very good.
It's a little long.
Andy talked.
I was writing it, and I
basically
started...
what has changed with Amendola from the time that the
Nothing.
Patriots at this time last year, we were about a week away from the Patriots falling completely in love with Danny Amendola, and now a year later, we're talking about the possibility of trying to trade him and or if you can't, cutting him outright. So, I think if Amendola stays, Andy, I'm not sure that you can re-sign Edelman. I'm not sure you can do that. But if you can do something with Amendola, then all of a sudden it increases your ability to your flexibility to do something with Julian. But I agree with you. This is his one shot to cash in. The only thing that's keeping him here is his affinity for Brady in this offense that he knows he can
and they share an
he
agent.
Can produce in.
You know, don't underestimate the fact that they share an agent. Who knows? Maybe he could make some extra money by working at the TB12 training center here at Patriot Place if he gives them a little discount.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll give him a column in the paper. And we'll get,
sure.
slide him a little extra. I'm sure that's not a salary cap violation.
And he's got that JE11 logo. We can slap that on there, branding. Before we leave, I want a quick, bold prediction like they do on the NFL Network. Between now and, say, midnight on Tuesday, the most exciting, interesting, or only move the Patriots make will be?
I have no idea. I think they're gonna sign somebody who can catch the ball. Some sort of receiver.
Okay, so Fred Taylor's out. I am going to go bold.
Such an unnecessary shot.
I am going to go. Love you, Fred Taylor. Great guy. You struggled in camp when I saw you here trying to catch the ball. I am going to go bold. I am going to go 69. 69 will be in town. The jersey's available, I believe. Gene Merchkowski, I think, was the last guy to wear it. I'm going to say Jared Allen, 69, coming to town. Get your pro shop pre-orders ready. Ken Flanders will have business to do because the Patriots go after a veteran, productive, proven pass rusher.
They're going to sign Jared Allen on day one of
you got it.
Free agency.
Fred said they're going to be aggressive and they're going to go big.
That's a bold call. Good
call. Go big or go home. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. This is another Patriots.com roster report podcast. And if our boss, Fred Kirsch, is right, this time next Friday we'll be back and we'll be talking about new talent being added to the Patriots 2014 roster. Be here then. Enjoy the warm weekend if you're in New England, and peace out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.